Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to my beauty industry enthusiasts, content creators, and brand visionaries. Get ready to step into a world where beauty meets business, where the creator economy blends seamlessly with strategy. I'm Sonia Elise, and this is Lip Service, the podcast. We're about to redefine the way that you think about the beauty industry. From the boardroom to the makeup room, we're leaving no stone unturned. Lip Service is your backstage pass to the beauty industry's best kept secrets. Now take out your notebook, fill up your emotional support water bottle, and swipe on your favorite lip gloss. Let's get into the episode. Welcome back to Lip Service, the podcast. We're here today with Kristen, a longtime friend of mine, a creator, now a creator monetization coach, the founder of a creator community called The Social Suite. I think this episode is going to be amazing and full of knowledge. Welcome, Kristen.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like we've done so many podcasts together at this point. I'm excited to just like riff with you.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, so as you know, this is a beauty podcast, and I know that you are a recovering beauty-aholic, hair-aholic, but just to take it back, because we ask all of our guests this, first and foremost, what's on your face today?
Okay. I have become such a minimalist with my makeup, and I think it's mostly because I work from home. So big skincare person, but typically during the day, if I'm trying to like look somewhat presentable, I love the Skin Better, like I think it's just like a tinted moisturizer, but it's like a skincare line. Okay. So I use that, and then literally Anastasia brow pencil. That's as far as I can go on a daily basis.
Hey, we love a minimalist routine around here. Mm-hmm. So easy. Amazing. So the next question is also product related. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow and you got to take one product to afterlife with you, what would it be?
It would be the IT Cosmetics CC cream. Like, wouldn't even have to think about it.
That's a bestseller.
I love it.
People love it.
I try and use other things, and then I always end up going back to that. Always.
Love it. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's how you know it's
true.
Good.
It's true.
Okay. And then the very last question is, what is inspiring you right now? It can be anything. Does not have to be beauty related, just music, TV, other creators. How are you getting inspired right now?
That's honestly a tough one, because I don't feel super inspired right now. I would say if I had to pick something, it's been that the weather has been so much nicer here in Charlotte. So I've been able to like sit outside with my computer, and being outside versus like stuck inside anywhere working always, I feel like, just feels so much better.
You're right. That sunshine really does help mental
health.
That's
a fact.
Okay. So as I mentioned, Kristen is a recovering creator. What would you say that she started in creation, but what are you doing now?
I made the transition in, I would say 2023, late 2022, to focus less on being just a creator, an influencer, and more of a coach, mainly because I always have had like this desire to teach. I love like speaking and teaching, and I really love business. And so I was getting so many questions from people kind of just like, hey, how are you working with brands? How do you know what to charge? And I was like, like, it's crazy that people are interested in this stuff. Like, maybe I should talk about it more.
Yeah.
So I used to be working with so many like lifestyle brands, you know, like on brand partnerships. And now my focus has just shifted so much to be more of like a resource for creators. So a lot of the brand partnerships that I do now are focused on like products and services that would be really good for when you're building your business, or just as a creator in general. So I'm technically like still an influencer creator of sorts, but just, I guess, in a different capacity. Sure. I never know what to call myself.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like your audience has just shifted. Like you're, who you are influencing and who you're creating content for has shifted. You're still a content creator, technically. Yeah. It's just maybe not in the same way that people think about what a content creator is.
Exactly.
I mean, if you show up online, you're a content creator in my book. So.
Literally, yeah. Like if you're creating content, you're a creator.
Exactly. And tell us more about Social Suite.
Yeah.
What do you offer there? What are you seeing happen over there? What's the vibe?
It's literally my favorite place to spend time. And I like, it's so funny to think about because I've had, and I still do have like courses or one-on-one coaching, and I love working with people in that capacity, but there's nothing like being in a room with creators who are all just like doing the same thing, but maybe they're on different like steps of their journey, and just being there to like help each other out, share experiences, like talk things through, commiserate about all of the like frustrating things, all the annoying things that we deal with as creators. So Social Suite is a private creator community where we basically have like a lot of educational resources, like, you know, templates, tutorials, all of that kind of stuff. We have like a community forums area where everyone's asking questions. Yesterday when Instagram was down, we were all in there like, what's going on? What are we doing? Yeah. Like, it's someone had said actually yesterday, Social Suite is like my new Twitter. And it had me laughing. But it really has just, aside from those educational resources, been a really good place to get the support that you need, whether that's from a coach, from me, or from my community manager, but also from other creators who maybe have been through some of the things that you're struggling with. So I love it in there.
Same. Every time that I'm in like the lip service chit chat, I'm like, everyone's so great here. I wish I could just hang out here all day.
Right? Like, how do we take the, out of the group chat? Like, I wish we could do this in person.
I know. We have tried some in real life meetups. We did one that actually a brand sponsored that was so much fun in the city. Yeah. And then we're right now talking about meeting up for Sephora. Sephora has like a semi-annual event, shopping event. So we're trying to like meet up and all hang out together. So we'll see.
I love that. Yeah. Like making friends as an adult is hard. So it's cool that you can do it in a way that's like with people who actually understand what you're doing. Because a lot of my friends that I've, you know, like know in my life off the internet are just, they do not understand what I do, or they're kind of just like, I get it, but like, I just am not like interested in it. So it's nice to have people who get it, you know, don't think I'm just crazy.
100%. No, you're not 100%. That's a life statement. It's nice to be around people who understand what you're doing.
Truly.
Amazing. So tell me about inside Social Suite and with the creators that you're working with, what are some of like the biggest questions that are being answered over and over again?
I would say there's a few different categories of questions. One of the biggest things, as you can expect, would be about monetizing, which has definitely been something that I've honed in on more in the last year or two, is how can you like consistently make money as a creator, not just even with brand partnerships, but like, how do I create a digital product? Like, should I have a subscription service? Should I have a membership? Should I have physical products? Because obviously we know that like if anyone wants to be a full-time creator, like we really can't be depending solely on brand deals. It's way too scary to be doing it that way. Like we don't know what's around the corner. So lots of questions about monetizing and just kind of like spitballing, like how can I do this? How can this person do this? So we do a lot of that. Also, I would say there's a lot of questions about like consistency on social media. Like, how do I get to be more consistent? You know, like people that go really hard and feel super inspired, and then when they're having those times when they don't, they're like, ugh, I don't really feel like posting. I don't have any good ideas. Like, how can I spark this inspiration? That's a really common one. And then I would say the third category is more about like business logistics. Like, I'm a creator, I can create really great content, but I don't know how to file taxes and like you save for taxes and track my income and expenses and all of that kind of stuff that none of us got into being a creator to have to do. We all have to do it.
Of course. Yes, I think that those are common questions across the board. You know, although I niche in beauty, I know that the creators in your group are wider. They come from all various different backgrounds and topic matters. But it's interesting to hear that there is such an overarching concern around the same things over and over again. And don't you think it's funny that there's not like and maybe it's not that funny, but that there's no like undergraduate or like professional program. I mean, I guess what you're doing is kind of creating a professional education experience, but don't you think that the industry would be so much better off if there was some sort of like, in order to sign brand deals, you need to go through this training. Right. And it goes through these things. I just wish that existed so badly.
I mean, I think it would be easier for everyone. You know, like creators would have way less question about what they should be doing, what they should be charging, how to read contracts, all of that kind of stuff. And also, I think brands would have, I guess, like more of a clean slate on like the people that they're working with, knowing that they are people who have gone through training. Because I'm sure from the brand side, like you probably have so many people that you're like, how do I know if this person is like going to actually deliver their content and like be reliable? And that's, you know, your job on the line at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of the world uses the fact that someone has an undergraduate degree in a specific topic to say, okay, like we're trusting that you can show up as a human being, not saying that that's the right way to do it, but I mean, at least it gives us some sort of starting point that people were trained in some sort of way for the job that they're showing up for. But there's nothing like that when you decide to become a creator.
I bet there will be one day. I wouldn't be surprised.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so, because I do think it would help the industry as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, that's one of the biggest issues, especially with pricing and stuff, is like everyone is so confused and just like can't find the place to get the right answers, or everyone is giving different answers. So when they're lowballing themselves, when they're giving rates, like it's really hurting the whole industry, you know, like it's hurting all the other creators who do want to charge a lot of money. But like, I literally, this just happened to me yesterday. I got on a call with a brand and I gave them my rates and they asked me for basically like double the amount of work at like a third of what my rate was. And yeah, I was like, this shouldn't have happened, but okay, here we are. And I had said to them, you know, like that it's extremely difficult for me to like even consider coming down to that rate for those amount of deliverables. And she was like, well, you know, we've been talking with a lot of other creators and like your rates are pretty high compared. And I'm like, see, you guys, all you guys sending out your low rates are kicking me right now.
So true. So true. I mean, I think that there is a middle ground between what can be affordable for brands, because I, you know, being on the brand side of things, I do realize how fast content is, you know, created and consumed, and it's out the door. And if you spend too much per asset, it's such a waste, especially if the usage is a short period of time, the timeline is quick. It can, you can burn through all of your marketing dollars so quickly if you're not careful. But at the same time, you don't want to be paying like $5 an asset.
Which is basically my offer.
Yeah, exactly. I just put on LinkedIn the other day that I was looking for someone to help with some Canva stuff. And I got answers for hourly rates that were literally starting at $5 an hour. And this was, I think, someone who was overseas. But I was like, what is happening here? How is $5 an hour an option for something like this? So,
it's definitely very confusing with pricing. But I think that low pricing, it's like, yes, it could get you the deal, but it also ends up like hurting you and others, I think, as you go forward. So, but again, there's not really anywhere to go look and be like, what is a reasonable rate, you know? So,
no, of course not. Well, then let's just put out numbers for people, because I think you and I have been doing this for a long period of time. So if we were to start a standardization, what do you feel like one asset, one video, let's put this, this is the scope of it. You have to do one video. It's at least 30 to 60 seconds.
Okay.
You don't have to post it. And the brand gets to organically use it. No paid usage. How much does it cost to just create one video these days?
It's so wild, because I never, ever, ever get asked to do anything like any sort of UGC style video without paid usage. I usually like, for in that scenario, I would probably, if it were like super easy, like talking head style video where it wasn't going to be like a big production for me, I would probably be charging around $300 in order for me to like make it worth my time in terms of like
Sure.
Getting like editing, doing all the time back and forth for contracting, like getting on calls to talk about like what they want this to look like. Like the actual creating of the content, I feel like takes almost the lowest amount of time compared to all the other stuff that's included.
So true. Yeah. I feel like my scope of work was not even reasonable because what brand reaches out for just one video? Like at that point, like we want multiple videos.
Fair enough.
Do think that 300 is a good starting point for like how to engage someone, right?
Yeah.
So Kristen has a lot more experience. It would make sense that she'd be like, I'm not going to go under 300.
Yeah.
And I think most people should not be going under 300, but that doesn't have to be per asset necessarily. I think 300 should be whatever you feel comfortable with in terms of showing up. Maybe it's two videos, maybe it's the video and the still. You know, as Kristen said, once you start filming, it's quite quick. It's not, you know, it's not like I don't know what I'm talking about. I've filmed a video before. I know what it takes to create the video, unless you're asking for something quite, you know, lots of takes, lots of zoom ins, zoom out, effects, whatever else. That's a different story. But you're right. I think that once you consider the back and forth with the brand, the taxes, the negotiation, the contract, all this stuff, I don't think that most creators should start taking jobs under 300. To me, that's the area that I call internship work. Just do it for free.
Yeah, literally.
At that point.
It's true.
Skip the contract. Skip everything. If someone just wants one video and you want it as a relationship builder, just make it for free.
Yep.
It's going to be faster
than
if you try to charge $75 for one video.
Exactly.
Like, unless you desperately need that $75, use it as your internship period.
Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. Typically, like for me with situations like that, like when I'm talking about UGC, I'll usually include 30 days of paid usage in my rate so that I can like have a reasonable rate. Again, like I don't want to do anything less than $300. And even $300, I feel like for me, it has to be a brand that I'm like, okay, I feel like this will lead to something further. Like it's just a lot of back and forth and a lot of work for like not a great amount of money.
For sure. You're taking 40% of taxes out of that. So you're looking at under $200. And it's just at the end of the day, when you have a lot of other things going on and you're trying to build a real business, I always tell people, it's not that it's not worth it for you. It's about where is your time best spent.
That.
And if your time best spent is in building this relationship, then you need to step up to the plate and say that, just like you said, is like, you know, if I really want to build a relationship with this brand, I do it. But if this isn't your dream brand, if there's somebody random coming to you, if it's not a product that you absolutely adore, maybe your time is better used doing original content, creating new content ideas, showing up and learning more about cameras, learning more about videography and editing, right? Like every minute that you spend doing one thing is a minute less spent doing something else. And so when we say, you know, maybe it's not worth it, we're not talking about monetary value. We're talking about literal personal growth. Time. The only non-renewable resource is time.
And I wish it were.
I know, right? Could we get more?
Honestly.
Every single day, always fighting for more hours, but you don't get them. So you really have to decide, is this the project I want to spend my time on? Or would I rather say I'm not going to charge until I feel more comfortable that I'm getting $300, $500, $700 per package, per partnership. And the rest of the time I'm going to spend just building my presence.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a really good point to bring up. Like a lot of creators who are just getting into it are like, you know, it's like not that much work. Like I could just do it. It's, you know, like, yes, it's a low amount of money, but it's like no big deal. It's the time. Like that's probably one of the biggest things that I've learned having my own business is like, I just do not have enough hours in the day and I want to have more hours where I'm not working. So like, you know, like I realistically have enough hours in the day to get done what I need to do. It's, do I want to be spending my time at my computer from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m.? Definitely not. Even like when I made the decision to, you know, hire a team, hire a podcast producer, like hire a marketing company to help me with marketing. Like this is massive amounts of money that I've spent in the last few years, but the amount of time that I've gotten back is to do things that only I can do is invaluable. You know, like it's worth the money.
Absolutely.
To be able to do that. Yep. For sure.
Yep. I would say that's a huge lesson in being a creator, being an entrepreneur. Anytime that you are the person who is the person, right? Yeah. Like every entrepreneur has a team. We have great people who support us. But at the end of the day, what sells people is you. Right. Mm-hmm. What sells people is getting on the phone with Kristen and deciding if they want to work with her. And it is the same with me. And there's only so much of us that we can give, which is why we have to constantly be thinking, was this worth it?
Yep.
Should I have invested more with somebody who can do it faster, with somebody who can take more off of my plate? And it is the same thing for creators. You have to decide what is the investment best spent. And I think one huge thing I see, and I'm hopefully you'll agree, is that creators don't invest enough in themselves.
No. Yeah, I would agree with that.
100%. In their own, their own professional development is not, there's not enough people who are thinking, oh, you know, if I invested in learning these skills, if I had a mentor, if I was part of a membership group, I would be able to level up. And they see it as, well, I'm not making any money. Well, yeah, like, because you sometimes have to invest to make that money. And I'm not saying like run out and buy, you know, many people will run out and buy a $1,000 camera before they would pay $35 for me to audit their profile. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
crazy. That's crazy to think about.
Exactly. And I think that your membership is relatively reasonable, right? How much is it per month to be in
social media? $44 a month. $44. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the amount of time that like I actually spend one-on-one with people, like if you have a question, I'm answering it, you know, for $44 a month is not a lot.
Yeah, I always think the same. Like, I mean, my group is free, but that's because I really can't show up and answer every single question anymore, which is why I started monthly mentorship that was at a higher price point. So mine is $350 for one meeting, but then I get the Voxer every single day, whatever question they have, instant, I'm checking in with them. You know, this week it was, did you apply for Ulta Beauty Collective? What are we doing? What does your application look like, right? I'm guiding them every single day. And that's like the starting point. Most people are paying $500 a month and they're getting a lot more handholding by me, but that's an investment that they're willing to make because they want that growth.
Yeah. And I get it from like a creator who's just getting started perspective too. Cause like I've been there and I'm like, I am scared to spend this money because like, I don't know if I'm, you know, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, is this going to work? Am I going to just throw $500 out the window? Like, yes, you are kind of like taking a chance on yourself, but that's one of those things where like, we hear people say all the time, like, if it's not scary, then like, you know, if you're not growing, like it has 100%. To feel a little uncomfortable, you know, like you investing money is very uncomfortable if you're not making a bunch of money from what you're investing in. But like, that's for how will you ever know if you're not, you know, like attempting to try and learn, right?
Exactly. And I think it's easy for us to talk the talk, but let's also walk the walk. And I know that you do this frequently in your content, which I really appreciate, but I will start with myself on what I've invested in recently or what I currently pay for that helps me show up online more. So I pay someone $500 a month to help me with my personal social or my business social, right? So that's video editing. We have a call one time a week, some of the graphics that I post, need the templates for them, brainstorming, etc. So that's $500 a month.
That's great, honestly.
She's a great deal and I love her very much. Yeah, she has higher packages as well that I didn't invest in yet, but I could definitely move towards if I want more growth. Then I pay the podcast producers also around $500 per four episodes that they edit. So that's about one per week for the podcast. Plus I have to pay for the podcast platform. I think that's like $15 per month. Not so bad. And then another recent investment was I bought my fancy camera. This was a big one. Pulling the trigger on this was really like a little bit scary.
Was
this it was $1,000.
Oh, I was not expecting that. Oh my gosh. It's so nice though.
I know. It's so nice. And you know what made it worth it for me? It was that I pulled the trigger when I signed a second client and I knew how much video content they wanted. And I was like, you know what? I'm ready to level up my skills from just coming to clients with iPhone and bringing in a higher quality of videography. Yeah. And in the first week I had it, honestly, I wouldn't say it paid for itself, but like I got so many compliments both on my own content from using it and my clients' content when they saw it, that I was like, this was worth the investment. But now I also have to like teach myself how to use it. A little bit. We're still on that learning curve. I know. And then I pay, let's see, I have an assistant that I pay. She's across all brands and I pay her about $4,500 per brand, depending on how much she does. That's a significant investment, which is why my retainers for my brands are not cheap because it's a big amount of work. And then I also pay a video editor for my brands to assist me, or else I would be editing all the videos myself like a crazy person, which I have done, mistake. And we pay them about $25 an hour. So those are some of the things that I can think of. That's not even my personal, like dog walker, babysitter, like a million other things.
For real. So, I could be here all day talking about how many expenses I have, but I'll give you the gist. So team, I have two VAs that I probably spend, I would say, under $200 a week on. I have a podcast producer that I pay about $45 an episode. We do also four episodes per month. And then I also, for the last, I would say, almost 6 months, have been working with a marketing team to help me with all of my launches, all of my email marketing, all of that. And I think I pay them. Sometimes it varies depending on how much work we have going on, but somewhere between 500 to 2000 per month, depending, again, like if we have a big launch, it's obviously more expensive.
Sure.
So that's team. Outside of that, same, I have all the same expenses for like the podcast, you know, with, we also use Riverside. Like there's a lot that goes into that. For my membership, it's about $100 a month to like be on the platform, plus all of the time and energy that we put into, like, you know, getting on Zoom calls, paying for Zoom. That's another $100 and something a year. For all of our like one-on-ones and everything, we use Zoom, but we also manage all of the clients through HoneyBook. I don't even remember how much that is every year, but it's fairly significant investment. But that's where we do, like, after I get on a call with someone, I'll automatically be able to send them like links to sign up. It tracks them through the whole process. There's like tons of editing apps and all of that kind of stuff, like, you know, Lightroom and CapCut and all of that. I mean, like, I spend like multiple thousands every month on expenses. So like, it's very easy. I try and be very transparent about that, because like I share a lot each month about like, here's how much I made in different streams of revenue. But I also like to share, here's how much I spent, because it's not like I'm pocketing all of that money. In a perfect world. But not in this one.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Like, I definitely think, I don't normally disclose how much money I bring in through the company, because I do think that it gives me the ick when I see people market that way. I mean, I like that you also expose all of your expenses, everything else, because it gives people definitely a lot more reality around, like, oh, it's not just she's bringing in $400,000 a year. It's that she also spends $250,000 of that. Yeah.
Exactly.
What's something that you once invested in, because I like to be real, that you once invested in that you're like, that was a mistake?
I already know. I already know exactly. Okay. I have so many examples. My thing, and maybe it's a problem of mine, I think it's a good and a bad thing, is like, I will invest in anything. Like, I'll try it once, always. But also, have invested in things that I'm like, I really didn't need that, or that was, I should have done more research. Actually, two courses. First one, I literally to this day do not know how this person on the sales call talked me into spending this kind of money. It was when I had started my podcast in October of 2022 or 2021, beginning of 2022. I was like, we're doing this. Like, we're building this podcast. I don't know what I'm doing at all, though. So I need like a coach. And at this point, I've invested in coaches before. So I'm like, I know this works. Like, this is a good method for me to learn. So this podcast program, there was mind you, no one-on-one in this whole thing. I paid $6,000.
Ouch.
Like, okay. Kristen, are you okay? I don't know. Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, yes, I did learn. I learned a decent amount. Definitely not $6,000 worth. But I would have loved to have spent like $1,000 on what I learned there. That was a good example of I should have done a little bit more research. But the guy on the call was like, if you do it right now, you save $1,000. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Okay, okay, go, go, go. Charge it. It was bad.
What a sales tactic.
It was like, yeah, they got me. And then I actually invested in a TikTok course. One of my friends had told me, oh, this guy, like I invested in his course. It's so cool. It was maybe like $800. You get video lessons, but he also would like email you every week and be like, here's your plan. Here's what you're going to do. And I was like, yeah, I love if someone would just tell me what to do. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I do it. And this, it's so funny to think about now because there is like proven information on the internet that this man is a scammer. Like, if you type in his name and type in scam, it's literally, like, hundreds of videos of people being, like, got scammed by this guy. And I'm just, like, another – see, but my friend had done it. So I was, like, oh, it'll be fine. Like, she had a great experience.
Yeah.
This man would send me an email once a week, and I swear he was basically just, like, pulling things out of his ass.
Copy kind and
of
paste. Thing. Oh,
it was
no.
It would be, like, no punctuation, no capitalization. He would just be, like – post 2 60-second videos on Tuesday and one on Thursday about this. And I don't even know. It was just like the worst advice ever. Gosh. I was like, there's no way there's research behind this. But it's crazy because he's a big YouTuber. Like he's extremely well known. He has hundreds and hundreds of thousands of subscribers. But he teaches a TikTok course that is literal trash.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Just don't. Oh my gosh. Don't do it.
Oh no, I'm sorry that happened to you. I have also been there for sure. I think my two biggest ones are when I feel rushed, I will hire without like really doing a gut check. And I think I've hired people who I kind of knew the workflow was not going to be the same as mine, the whatever, but they were like there and ready and excited. And I tried to make it work and it wasn't a fit. So that's a really hard lesson to learn. But the second one is I also joined a group coaching type scenario this year. And it was a woman I found off of TikTok. I love her style. I love her personal style.
Yeah.
And I had really wanted to work on new parts of my business. I said, great, this is going to be like a great way for me to do that. And the mistake was not her. Like she's great. Everything was fine. It was that there was no one-on-one. And I know now, like literally after the first month, I was like, I'm not going to show up to any of these things. I'm not in the group chat. They're using school as a platform, which I personally hated. It was just like, I needed more accountability and more personal motivation. And after month two, I was like, I'm out. Like, what am I doing? It wasn't significant. I think it was like around $200 a month. Mm-hmm. But I was so excited because I truly did love her.
Yeah.
But, and like the way that she shows up and a lot of what she has to say, I resonate with, but it just wasn't the right method for me.
Right.
So that was, I guess, $400 or $500 down the drain.
Yeah. This is a good lesson. This conversation of like, really look into what kind of coaching you're getting. Research the coach too, in my case. Make sure you don't get sold something on call where you do not get time to do your research. Period.
Yes, for sure. Pressure marketing, really, I don't understand. I'm the anti-pressure. I always tell my clients and people I work with, you know, if you want to leave, that's fine. If you want to do whatever, that's fine. I learned from being at an agency for a long period of time that you don't want to be in a scenario working where someone doesn't want to be there. Like someone doesn't want you there. Mm-hmm. You're like, that's the most hostile work environment to be in. So if someone wants to leave, I'm always like, okay, I have a three month minimum for my mentorship clients because I really think that when you're working one-on-one with someone, you need a period of time to like see the improvement. But outside of that, I'm like, you can then go whenever you'd like. It's fine. You can stay, it's whatever. Well, we've all learned hard lessons.
Oh yeah. But again, like you don't know until you try many times. So no regrets. Exactly. I've learned a lot of things, spent a lot of money, but If I didn't, maybe I wouldn't be where I am today. So I'll just take True. It. We'll take it with a grain True. Of salt.
Lessons learned. Okay, let's shift back to our creators whom we love and adore. What do you think for this year, 2024? What are we seeing as the trends? What are you seeing in terms of how brands are working with creators? What direction are we going in here?
If anyone listening right now follows me on Instagram, you know that I will not condone pitching. We're not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm. No,
cold pitching, can we just not? Like, we're no. So, this has actually been kind of like my take on brand outreach for the last couple of years. I've been teaching a method called the anti-pitch method, and it really is more about like creating connections with the people who work at the brands instead of just sending like a ton of copy and paste cold emails, because we know yes. that from your end, those cold pitch mm-hmm. emails are so boring. They all look the same. Like, you do not have all the time in the world to like read through all of them. So like, what can you do differently? Like, how do we actually get to know you? There's so many different ways to approach it than cold pitching. So for me, like, I am just over cold pitching. We're not doing it anymore. I think especially after COVID, like, people crave connection, right? Like, we want to have like that human to human connection. And it's so interesting that we know that when it comes to like our followers, right? We know that they want to have conversations and we want to like get to know people. But why do we approach working with brands so differently that we're like sending these impersonal emails, you know? So mm-hmm. The anti-pitch method is what I use. It's very heavy on LinkedIn. I will preach LinkedIn until I die. I love it so much.
Love it. I know. I saw that you started using it so much more, or that you were talking about your creators mm-hmm. using it so much more. And it really is so smart.
Yeah.
I do think LinkedIn is highly underutilized, probably mm-hmm. for most industries, but definitely for creators.
Oh, yeah.
I actually recently posted, you know, some thought, kind of like a thought piece not that long ago. And that's what brought my current newest client back around to me. They're like, oh, I saw that you posted mm-hmm. this thing. I was like, hey,
it works.
It does work. And I was just a guest speaker for your group, and so yeah. many of them instantly requested me on LinkedIn, which was so cute.
Oh, it's music to my ears. Like, I taught them the method.
You sure did. And a lot of my mentorship clients have been asking, how do I create stronger relationships? So as someone who was previously in PR, I talked a lot about, I mean, you know, I've been anti-pitch for a long time, but we talk a lot about what does a personal relationship look like? How do you further a person relationship? And without getting into like all the details, I think the biggest thing that I always come back to is stop asking for what you want and start asking how you can support the other person.
Yes.
And that's networking, relationship building 101. The way that yeah. you show up and ask people how you can support them is the direction that your relationship is going to go in.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about pitching, it's like you're literally in traditional cold pitching, like what you see videos for on TikTok, is like, here's what I said to this brand when I pitched them, whatever. It's literally like, hi, my name is this. I'm an influencer based here. And, you know, I love your brand so much. Like, are you working on any partnership? It's like, what does that, yeah. what is appealing about yeah. that to a brand? Literally nothing. You have to remember that you are the service provider in this relationship. What are you going to mm-hmm. do that's going to benefit the brand? Like, how can you help them reach their goals? Which actually brings mm-hmm. me to, like, I think one of the most important things that creators can learn is asking, what are your goals? Like, people are like, well, yes. how do I approach UGC versus approach sponsored posts? I'm like, do you know what the brand needs? You know, like, you have mm-hmm. to know what they're even working on behind the scenes for you to be able to say, hey, you know, like, I'd love to support you with like UGC videos or whatever it is. How can you even do that if you don't know what they need? I think that's the most important question that you can ask.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I love it. Preach. So true.
Yes, for real.
It's amazing how many little tweaks you can make mm-hmm. in the influencer industry to really stand out. And they're so small, but yeah. they're things that people just, you don't know what you don't know. And that's why you need yeah. professional mentorship. You need a creator group. You need people who have been on the other side and can yeah. guide you with new direction. Because 99% of the things that I suggest to my creators, they're like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm like, isn't this obvious? Like, why don't you ask to get a coffee? Why don't you ask for like a Zoom chit chat?
They're like,
yeah, you're like, why not?
Yeah. So, well, we've been like, as creators, we've been taught to do it a very specific way, you know, like
for sure.
Everyone on TikTok, mm-hmm. everyone on YouTube has always said, this is how you work with brands. So like now mm-hmm. that things are starting to become, this is like a more widely known industry, like it's evolving. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard for creators to like get out of the box of what they're used to doing. But again, like it has to feel a little uncomfortable.
Yep. 100%. I mean, I think this is it. We're going to launch the first official mandatory school for creators because I can't.
Creators. Let's go.
College for creators. I know. The hard part is that I feel like there's so many people who are scammers. Okay. I'm not going to say scammers. I'm sure they mean well at heart, but the videos like you're talking about that say, this is how to pitch a brand. Yeah. The other one I hate is, here are five brands that paid me this month. And God, I'm like,
don't get me started. I hate this so much. Or like, here are like five emails of brands who work with micro influencers. How do you know?
Don't share email.
Do you
don't
live, do like, do you work at that brand? Do you know?
I know.
Like, because they worked with one micro creator? Come on.
Oh my gosh. No. It's truly awful.
It gives the ick.
Just keep your eyes on your own page. Make your own way. That's the best way to do it. Make
That's
your own
clickbait.
Firm relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, truly. Okay. So before we wrap up, and that, although I feel like we could go for like five episodes in a row.
Truly.
what do you think is like the biggest takeaway you want creators to have right now? Like we're early in 2024. There's still time. What do you feel like are the biggest takeaways that would lead them back to monetization? Like your number one tip.
Yeah. I would say this applies to like monetization, but also, you know, growing your community on socials. Mm-hmm. Remember that the person on the other side is a literal person, right? Like how do you mm-hmm. want to be treated as a person? There are brands, there are people that work at the brands, you are speaking with the people who work at the brands. So mm-hmm. how do you create actual connections with them? I think that's where the magic happens. Instead of you, again, just like making things feel very like general, very impersonal, like really mm-hmm. ask yourself in any situation, again, you're in with your audience or with potential people you want to work with, is like, how can I show this person that like, I recognize that they're a human. And that might be as simple as like literally asking how their weekend was. Like, you know, if you see they have a dog, being like, oh, I saw your dog. And like anything you can connect with people on a human level, I think makes such mm-hmm. a world of difference, especially this year. Like we're sick of the copy and paste stuff, you know?
So true. So true. Mm-hmm. I love it. Excellent advice as always, Kristen. Well, we will link your social handles in the show notes per usual, as well as where to find more information on how to join Social Suite. If you're interested, I highly recommend it. I've worked with Kristen for years and I trust all of the advice that she gives creators. So
thank you.
You have my stamp of approval.
That's all I need.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye.
Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Lip Service, the podcast with me, Sonia Elise. If you just can't get enough of me or this podcast, which I know is the case, please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at sonia.elise. That's SONIA.ELYSS. In addition, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review this podcast and just let me know what you think. As a thank you for being a listener, I will be selecting a monthly winner to receive a free one-on-one session with me. All you have to do to enter is screenshot the podcast and share it on your Instagram stories, tagging myself as well as at Lip Service World. If listening to this podcast has inspired you to invest in your journey as a beauty creator, don't forget that you can get my eyes on your account with a custom profile audit. It's $35, the same as a Stanley cup, but it adds way more value to your life. Don't forget that sharing your life online can spark joy, so just hit post. Catch you on the next episode.